The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Tantric Lounge with noted expert on sex, love, and intimacy, Jacqueline Hellier. In our program, we'll discuss not only the nature of sex and the spirituality of sex, but also the science of sex. Now, here is one of Australia's leading experts on sex and love, Jacqueline Hellier.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Tantric Lounge, where we talk sex, science, and spirituality.
And art.
And art. Yes, today we're talking art in a way. You may be surprised to think that the fine ancient art of Japanese bondage could be considered an art. But today's guest is an expert in this art, and we'll be talking to him shortly to find out what is shibari, why is it erotic, what's the sexual connection with tying someone up, and all sorts of interesting and no doubt fascinating things, as we always have such good, fascinating conversations with our guest sex geeks.
How do you spell shibari for the benefit of our listeners?
S-H-I-B-A-R-I.
Great.
Good thing I can speak Japanese.
Yes. Watashi mo. Okay.
Anyway, we better not speak Japanese, otherwise I guess we'll be able to, our listeners won't understand what
the Japanese ones will, but we don't have
millions of
Japanese listeners. Okay. So what's, you haven't introduced me as you usually do.
Oh gosh, sorry everybody, this is Xavier.
Yeah, okay.
Co-host.
Yeah, right. So what's the latest on Planet Jacqueline?
Yes, well at the moment I'm actually on an aeroplane flying to Vietnam.
Even as we speak.
Well, not as we speak, but as the listeners listen.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right. Well, yes, but in the great TARDIS that is radio.
The radio, and podcasts, the time warp.
And the time warps, yes. You are actually flying on a plane to Vietnam.
Yes.
In order to do what?
To go on a spiritual retreat for 10 days, meditate, feel cosmic, have a rest, basically.
So you have to go all the way to Vietnam to find yourself.
I'm not finding myself. I'm just having a lovely time.
Oh, okay. So it's just a junket. It's a spiritual junket.
How could you be so crude?
Well, it comes easy. Okay. So what's besides being
what
on
else?
A plane,
the button? The yes, button the is being pushed?
Oh, yes. We finally fixed Jacqueline's back end on her website. So now that we've fiddled around with her back end, she now has a front end button that, that
can be pushed.
Yes. So that our listeners, should they wish to support this program to be free and independent on the airwaves and internet of the world, please feel free to push the donate to the program button and give us all that cheap thrill that we so needfully deserve.
Yes, and so we can keep this program going, because it's quite expensive to run a program like this. So
yes, as our listeners can probably appreciate. And we have also enormously big news. She's giving me a blank stare. I'm giving you a signal.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. It's 9 o'clock in the morning here and neither of us are morning people.
Neither of us are morning people. So
we never do breakfast radio. It would be impossible.
We've done an 8 o'clock once.
Yes, but breakfast radio starts at 4 a.m.
Oh, God, no.
We'd be dead.
No, late night would be much better. Okay. Yes.
Late night with J and X.
Because we have the late night radio voices.
That's right.
We could do it.
So tell me, Jacqueline.
Yes, Xavier.
What about the very latest big news?
Oh, I have a book. I've released a book.
You've released a book.
It's a very, very good book.
Tell us about the great book.
Oh, I like the voice. Can we do the voice? Okay.
Tell me about the book,
it's
Jacqueline.
It's educational erotica for women.
Tell me more.
It's called Seven Sex Goddesses, Reawakening for Today's Woman.
Oh, tell me more.
It describes seven goddesses and how they personify different elements of female sexuality.
And also, I think, how to cathect or how to draw upon these goddess energies.
So that you can be fully expressed as a sexual woman.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
And how do people get their hands on the book, Jacqueline?
They go to my website. www.jacquelinehellier.com. Go to books. Well, actually, I've kind of got it plastered all over my website at the moment, but there's various ways to get to the book, but you can just go to the book section in the shop. There's a shop.
And it's
a new website, in fact. I completely revamped the website.
That's right.
So
because
if you haven't seen it,
we've also
go
fiddled
and
with
look.
Your front end.
Well, my back end has had so much work on it lately. It's just extraordinary.
And it's just it's sort of trickled up to your front end.
The front end is beautiful.
So
and easy to use.
How much is the book?
It's $16.50 Australian.
Okay. Mm. And worth every cent.
I think so. It has. How many erotic stories are in there? Because Xavier, in fact, is my executive editor and polished it, so that's why it is, in fact, so magnificent.
It shines. It's so polished.
So there's three modern characters who each have erotic experiences where they're embodying these different goddess energies. So and then the whole goddess, so that's 3/8, 24, plus the goddesses themselves. There's over 30 erotic stories in this book.
So you're getting, what's 16 divided by 30? Some small number. It's like 50 cents a story.
Oh.
Easily.
Less. It's about 43 cents a story. And that's Australian. So if you're American, it's more like 37.
37 cents a story. 37.
Bargain.
And they're all good stories.
They are. And they're all informative, they're inspiring, they're educational, they're informative.
And they're interspersed with
instruction. And I think they're quite erotic too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Have we finished with plugging the book?
We've finished plugging it. We've talked about my back end, talking about plugs.
We've done everything. Can we introduce our guest now?
We can.
Hebari, H-E-B-A-R-I.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Xavier.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here.
Yes, live in the studio because I think I'm going to get tied up.
Yes. Jacqueline Shibari, as we mentioned earlier, is the Japanese art of bondage.
Yes.
You want to tell us a bit about that?
Shibari is it used to be a capture and torture method, so it doesn't sound all that appealing.
Doesn't sound very erotic.
But
samurai used to do this?
Yeah, the samurai used to use it to capture prisoners and to also display them because, of course, shame is a very big thing in Japan and to some degree is part of torture. So it doesn't, as I said, sound all that appealing to the modern man.
Or woman.
But like a lot of things, it's sort of evolved. And really what it is now is it's sort of drawing on the gestalt history, I suppose, and memory a little bit of the Japanese people to do something that kind of brings up emotions as part of a sensual experience. And I think in the same way that kind of pole dancing has gone from being sort of something that was under the table to something that, you know.
People used to have poles under tables?
Oh, I don't know.
That would have been hard.
Maybe they went all the way through.
Maybe they were very tall tables.
But it's sort of, you know, in the same way it's sort of starting to become a more mainstream thing. And
it's
a lot
transformed.
And the edges have kind of been knocked off it. So now that what we do is something that's sort of quite beautiful and really focused on the connection between two people, which is really lovely.
I think of it like macrame for adults.
A little bit. You could describe it that way. I think a lot of people from a feel perspective describe it like a big hug. And that's probably more about the experience for the people involved. And look, part of it is just teaching people to be present when they're interacting with their partner.
And how does tying someone up enable you to become more present with a partner?
Well, I think for the person who's the top, the person who's actually doing the tying, they kind of don't really connect with their partner if they're not present with them. And it's a bit of a fail, and it's quite obviously one, which is, I think, part of the thing that really makes it work is because when a top starts to learn how to tie, very quickly they realize that if they're not going to be connected, if they're not going to be present, it's actually just not going to work.
Is not created.
Well, also the partner looks bored and wants to get out.
And then it's an unpleasant experience for the person being tied
up. And so what happens is I think it really motivates tops to learn how to be present and how to connect with their partner. And that's what we're seeing a lot in the classes. People come to learn how to connect.
Because you actually run classes. You have a rope dojo, don't you?
Well, yeah, we do. We run classes twice a week.
A dojo of rope?
Mm.
Where is this dojo of rope
located? Just around the corner from here, actually. It's in Leichhardt in Sydney.
Wow. Who would have thought that Leichhardt was a bed of Japanese bondage?
I know, a hotbed of Italian food and bondage.
So this, I mean, for the benefit of the live listeners to this show, well, by the time this is up and running, there are no live listeners. So, because this is a pre-record. So, for the benefit of all our podcast listeners, this is going to be radio with pictures.
Mm.
We have, we're going to take photographs of Hibari as he ties up Jacqueline in various subtle and maybe not so subtle ways. So, you'll be able to see what these look like to some extent.
Mm.
Are there also books that people can purchase on the subject? Are there many books that have been published, or is there a website that people can
There are a couple of books out there. They're not a lot I like personally. There's one of the better books that's available is by a gentleman called Master K, and it's called The Beauty of Kimbaku, and it's mostly a history book.
What's Kimbaku?
I should probably say Shibari and Kimbaku. There's some subtle differences between the terms, but they're kind of interchangeable. Mm. In a way, Shibari is a general Japanese term for tying, whereas Kimbaku is sort of the equivalent of the word bondage.
Okay.
Yeah, it actually means tight binding.
So how did this come into the West?
Well, a lot of people have been into Japan for a long time.
Yeah. Myself included. In fact, Xavier. I lived there for 4 years and you've lived there.
For 4 years.
No.
So, I mean, people have gone over there and they've gotten into the culture and it used to be quite difficult to get involved in those aspects of the culture.
Right.
But some people got in, some people got involved, and especially one gentleman who's now called Master he's now called Asada Steve.
Oh, yes.
He's a master of rope. Yes. Mm. And I think Steve was really probably the person who opened the West up or opened Japan up to the West in terms of rope.
Right.
He sort of went through the actual Japanese process of becoming a deshi, which is a very close student, and then taking on the actual name when his master, Asada Akechi, died. And so suddenly we had this Westerner in the middle of Japan who had a great body of knowledge and sort of access, who was then happy to sort of spread that out to the rest of the West.
So how long did this process of apprenticeship in the Kimbaku. Oh, it's 9 o'clock.
You probably said something dreadful in Japanese.
Kimbaku.
I don't know if the idea of photos at 9 o'clock is that great an idea. I'm personally looking.
That's all right. We're just going to look at the hands and the knots more than the.
Sorry, it's mostly me that's being photographed.
Oh, that'll be fine then. You're still looking good this morning.
Kimbaku. Kimbaku. Yes, back to Kimbaku. Mm. How long does this apprenticeship take?
Well, I don't know that it's the kind of thing you can put a timeline on in very typical sort of Japanese form. I believe that Steve was sort of apprenticed for about 10 years. In his case, that wasn't so much the length of the apprenticeship, it was just the amount of time until his master unfortunately passed away. And then he took on the name. But quite often a deshi can be a deshi for most of their life and they really don't...
If their teacher stays alive that
Yeah, long. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not actually until their teacher passes away that they kind of get to take on the name if they're lucky.
It's very much like the martial arts traditions, isn't it? Well, which is my background.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, it's all that, it's all comes out of a base of Japanese-ness, really.
Yeah, it's their culture.
And a lot of the things that are common, like the way they structure learning experience. And it's also this thing about heart. Like anybody that's studied martial arts to any depth realizes there's a whole aspect of kind of heart and what they call kokoro.
Which is heart.
Yeah.
This process of, I guess if you're the top, the tie is the top, the tie-e is the bottom.
Actually, oddly enough, even the Japanese call the bottoms models.
Oh, models, okay.
Yeah, we in the West, we have a cute term for bottoms, which is bunnies. I have no idea where that came from.
The rope bunnies.
Rope bunnies, yeah. Yes.
I like model better.
Yeah, look, some people like either one. I think I can understand why people want to apply a cute aspect to it just to take a little bit of the edge off the potential for it to be seen as a bit,
too
strong and hard. Yeah.
So. Some people like the edge, though.
Oh, yes. And I quite like the edge myself.
Do you describe the edge?
Oh, look, there's something very beautiful about actually being given that level of responsibility where somebody says, look, I'm going to simply put myself in your hands.
Yes.
And I hope you'll do the right thing with that. Mm. And there's something really quite beautiful about that. But the other side of it too is there's sort of intensity of experience.
Mm.
I think people are very shy of the idea of pain, but pain is kind of an extreme experience, and then there's all sorts of things leading up to that.
Mm.
And anybody that's gone for a really long jog knows that it's not a comfortable experience, but it's a satisfying one, and I think...
And right, often quite pleasurable and almost verging on orgasmic experience.
Well, you're starting to sort of, you know, bring up a lot of things like endorphins and that sort of stuff, which have really pleasant experiences.
But like so many things, this is a process, isn't it? I mean, you don't tie up people in order to get to an end of a beautiful knotting arrangement, even though some of these knotting arrangements can be absolutely really beautiful, just from purely artistic point of view. You don't do it just to get to that end. It's all the process, the journey to get to that point is just as important as the final result.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably that's something that's consistent with most Japanese things. I think even things like making sushi, the whole process is as important as the eating at the end. Absolutely. And I think it's one of the things about having an essential experience with somebody is you can't have an isolated experience. It has to be led into and out of.
It's got to be the whole journey.
Yes.
Mm.
And we will look into how you got into this journey, particularly Hibari-san, after the break.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Sex, 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 sex. Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
And welcome back to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline and I. And our special guest, Hibari, who is a master in the art of Japanese rope bondage called Shibari, or what's the other one?
Kimbaku.
Kimbaku. I keep forgetting. I've got a mental blank on that one. Right now, in the break, what Hibari started doing was he started to tie Jacqueline up, and we're now taking photographs, which we will post online so you can have a look at this. They started off actually by having a rather nice, intimate hug to get into the zone. How did that feel?
For me, very safe.
Ah, so this is a very important preliminary aspect, isn't it? You must establish trust.
Well, I think you're starting a journey with somebody. You need to work out where they're at to begin with. And I think one of the really important things with rope is you're not tying rope at somebody. You're having experience with them. And so part of it is just tuning into where they're at to begin with so that you can take a journey together.
How did you get involved in this? What's your particular path to this process?
Oh, I used to be a roadie once upon a time.
What's a roadie?
Ah, okay. I used to do rock and roll lighting and sound.
Oh.
Yeah. And I ended up getting my riggers ticket. which is, and when I say rig, is like industrial and entertainment rigging. So putting up all the lights into the
Oh, of course, somebody has to do that, don't they?
Yeah, and so I got good with rope, and I started using it on girls.
That's, well, I guess.
This is when I was in my early 20s, and so I don't think there was a real lot of a great deal of spirituality involved at the time.
Oh, really? Did you find it difficult to find girls that were happy to get tied up?
Not at all. I think people are quite open to a range of experiences if they trust the person that they're with.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously I managed to imbue enough trust that I got to do quite a lot of things that might not be something you'd expect.
Yes, my observation of you in person is that you do seem to carry around with you this aura of gentleness, and yes, this is the sort of guy that you can trust. He might be a total psychopath, but he gives out the impression of being somebody you can trust.
No, I try to be trustworthy, and I think with something that's intimate, I'm sure it's the same with Tantra and quite a lot of things, but if you're not somebody that can be trusted, then that firstly, that really comes across, I think, and secondly, you know, it you can cause damage with people just because they are putting their trust in you, and you know you have to treat that appropriately.
Yes, you certainly don't want to be tied up by someone who could potentially traumatise you.
No.
How often do you do this?
Oh, I probably tie somewhere between sort of 5 and 10 times a week.
Wow. And when you say tie, how long does a session of tying go for?
Normally about half an hour. I mean, if I'm with my partner and we're just having a nice night at home and we decide to do some rope, then, you know, that might take 2 hours of just playing in bed and all that kind of thing. But, you know, if I'm just tying somebody, normally about half an hour.
I wonder whether you ever run out of knots.
No, not so far. I've run out of rope before, but never knots.
How much rope would you have to be using to run out of it? The human body is only so large.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I mean, I probably carry about kind of maybe 160 metres of rope with me normally.
So 160 metres.
Yeah.
That's like about 500 feet.
That's a lot.
That's because you do suspension as well, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's because I do suspension, and it's also because I've learned over the years it's much better to have a little more rope than not enough. It can be a bit embarrassing when you go to do something and reach for a rope and there's nothing there.
Suspension sounds like an art all of its own. It sounds like really, really tricky to get to master, because you'd have – I mean, obviously one of the things that you're aware of when you're doing this is tension. If you get the tension wrong in a suspension situation, it would be difficult to execute correctly.
Well, I mean, yes, absolutely. Tension is really important, and it is difficult when you start doing suspension. I think the big thing with suspension, though, is a lot of people assume it's the ultimate end game of doing shibari, and it is certainly fun, but it is difficult. It does take time, and it does increase the danger involved with rope.
As a rigger, do you have to actually have a special sort of rigging available that's strong enough for suspension work?
Oh, yes. You need a point that's rated for a human. You can't just kind of put it up on anything.
Can't just put a little screw-in hook into a ceiling and hope that...
No. Though I have heard stories of that. They're generally stories that end with somebody in hospital, you know, with bruising and whatnot. So we don't like to suggest that that's a good idea. But, no, look, I mean, the big thing with suspension is that it's something that people need to work up to and they really need training in. So it's sort of we don't really encourage people to do it straight away.
So what are the stages in the shibari journey for the learner?
Well, I mean, the first one is people just need to learn a few basics, because it's very hard to get into the feel of tying until you know how to do a few little things. And then basically we really try and focus on the connection and on the feel and on making sure that a person's constantly feeding back with their partner. So I always say to people, tying is a little bit like sending out sonar, that you do things, you get a feel for how your partner's reacting to that, and then you modify what you're doing based on that. And so it's a constant kind of conversation in that way.
So what are you getting back from me? You'll have to excuse me, listeners, if I've gone a bit quiet. I'm feeling quite rope drunk.
Well, Jacqueline, you seem very relaxed.
I'm very relaxed. I've gone to a very nice place.
I'm very glad. It would be a bit of a worry if I couldn't.
Get me out of this!
Yeah. Oh, this is horrible.
Get me out.
Well, I wasn't quite sure what it would be like to be tied up while doing a radio program. So thank you, Xavier, for being here, because I've actually got both of you holding the space for me. Because, like, I mean, we've talked about this before. We've talked about tantric dominance and submission. And if you haven't listened to that show, listeners, go back. I think it was in the second season, wasn't it?
Oh, who knows? Who remembers?
It was a while ago. But we've talked about this quite a lot, and about that subspace that you can go into when you partake in these kind of activities, which I'm kind of half in and half out of. But it's quite a beautiful space, and it's very much like this is like extreme yin and yang, where Hibari here is very much in the yang. This is my experience of it. He's completely holding the space for me here with Xavier's assistant, and which allows me to like just completely let go and just really experience the yin. And for those of you who have bought my new book, which I'm sure everybody who's listening has just gone online and bought my book, of the seven sex goddesses mentioned, this is the Maestra and the Earth Gypsy, where the Maestra is completely yang. And it's all about control and skill and virtuosity, that element of sexuality.
So this is Hibari in his Maestro.
He's the Maestro, which allows me to go into my Earth Gypsy mode, which is the very much the yielding, complete yielding and letting go.
Yeah, which I think to be honest, the experience I think most people would relate to is just laying their head in somebody's lap, you know, and that moment where you actually lay down and you just put your head on somebody's lap and you close your eyes and, you know, they're sitting up there, they've got that, I suppose, controlling posture or capable posture, and the person who's laying down is letting go and just allowing themselves to relax, you know, and that kind of energy is the sort of thing that certainly comes from doing this kind of relaxed bedroom type rope.
Depending on where you're at in your sexual awareness, it can be, I imagine, a very some people might wonder, doing all of this just to get laid. So, you see what I mean? It's a bit extreme.
Oh, yeah,
it's a lot of effort to get
there. It's just a lot of effort.
And it is. Look, to be honest, if the thing that you want to do is jump onto bed and have sex with somebody, there is some rope that you can do that's very quick and kind of a bit of fun, and you know, you sort of head onwards to having sex. But it's not really about sex. I think it's a lot of sensual experiences are like that. That it's about connection, and it's about forming something a little bit deeper than just a quick bonk. So you know, it's horses for courses, really.
So this, to some extent, what I'm sensing here is like this is like erotic sensuality rather than sexual.
So you're making a distinction between erotic sensuality. Please, people, I'm trying to run a radio show here. Erotic sensuality and what you don't see in Radioland is that Hibari just ran the rope gently over Jacqueline's neck.
And my neck is very sensitive.
So that's another thing, becoming aware of the sensuous parts of your body so that you can have a heightened experience.
Absolutely. And it's just partly, and I think one of the values in rope is it teaches people to actually take note of that everyone's wired a little bit differently. There are some things that work on most people, and there's some things that you have to sort of hunt around for and find. But part of the journey with rope is learning how to actually work your way around somebody's body and somebody's space and somebody's sensorium, I suppose, and find the things that trigger them, find the things that excite them, find the things that really
Awaken things in them.
Exactly. And it's I think that's one of the values in it, is that I don't think most people are taught that they have to go out and find models that, that allow them to learn that kind of information. And obviously Tantra is one of them, and there are a lot of sort of sensuality and spirituality kind of based sexual constructs that help people to learn those kind of things, and rope certainly one of them.
I think rope is very tantric.
Because
of the really strong connection you have to have between the two people involved.
And since Tantra is all about awareness.
And presence.
Oh, you're just bumping the microphone.
Yeah, and that deep presence, that deep connection, it's very slow. There's a sinking in. And that complete letting go. And I imagine, Habari, that as the top, you have a, like, is there some kind of sense of letting go to the experience for you too?
There's a little bit, I suppose the best way to describe it is a little bit of tunnel vision, mm-hmm. that sort of the rest of the world becomes a little bit fuzzy, and the focus ends up coming in on just that one person. And it sort of becomes very immediate, in that my mind, instead of thinking about, you know, what I'm going to have for lunch or, you know, what I've got to do later in the day, sort of narrows down to the point in time that I'm with that person. And I just find that incredibly relaxing and just nice, really.
We often think of meditation as being sitting down and gazing at your navel, but my experience of this, just watching you two, is that it's an extremely meditative experience. This whole process of focusing in on the simply the act of doing what you are doing and being very present in the moment is extremely meditative. It must be very, very good for a person's mental health if you're predisposed to doing this sort of work.
Mm. I've found that the people that do rope tend to be very well
adjusted.
Yeah, that's... I mean, we get some people that are fairly badly adjusted that come in and try and use it as a way to
get laid.
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, there are a certain number of people who just kind of go, oh, you know, those rope people get laid. I better go do that then. And it's not going to work for them because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And those are the sort of people that come to two or three classes and get annoyed and walked away, which is great.
sort of separates the wheat from
farewell
the chaff.
To bad rubbish.
It does, and it's that whole thing of like, okay, well, you know, I don't particularly want to be teaching somebody who's looking at it that way because I don't enjoy teaching it, and you know, I don't think they're going to do anything good with it. So, where were we?
We were at the idea of the people who do this having a meditative experience. Yes.
And look, the people that have kind of come in, and you see the people that come in kind of tentatively, like, oh, I think this might be interesting, and then they come in and they get into it and they have these kind of light bulb moment where they go, oh, this is great, and suddenly they're really...
They have a rope epiphany.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And you get these kind of really bright-eyed people, and the dojo just keeps getting bigger, and with people who have never done kink, which I think is great.
Mm. Yeah, because people often have a weird idea about what kink is, when in fact, when it's done well, that's why I call it like tantric kink or cosmic kink. It's just the most divine experience.
So this is not for weirdos. This is actually the exact opposite. It's actually for people who are very sane and stable and well-grounded, who want to explore something sensuous and interesting. And there's I can see there's a great intellectual component as well.
Well, I think probably to raise the spectre of 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, must you?
Yeah, if there's one thing that I think that the popularity of that book taught us was that there are far more people who are interested in maybe less conventional sexual concepts than anybody might have realised. I think probably the great positive thing that came out of the 50 Shades experience was simply that people looked at the person sitting next to them at a desk and went, oh, you're reading that too. Oh, okay, you might. Oh, and suddenly there were a lot of conversations that came up out of that. So I think that the idea that sort of less conventional sexual practices are just for the weird is something that is disappearing. I think that's great.
And I think we should talk about that more in the third segment.
Yes,
that's the whole idea about how rope can even be considered sexual because it doesn't involve the genitals. So
yes, after the break.
After the break.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
And we're back again talking and actually experiencing the art of shibari. So Hibari, our guest sex geek today, has been tying me up. And I was a bit quiet in the second segment because I was really feeling that whole rope drunk and going into subspace, which was really beautiful. Fortunately, he took the rope off, so the left-hand side of my brain has switched back on again and I have my speech centres back. He's about to tie me up again because I love it. The things I do for my art, for
yes,
my craft,
the sacrifice
that I'm making so that the listeners can get an experience is, I think, quite noble.
I think so. I think so. There's definitely an OBE in this for you eventually for services to humanity.
Services to humanity, indeed.
I'm curious as to whether do people ever pay you for this besides being for the side of being taught, or do they ever actually pay you for a session?
I do one-on-one classes quite regularly with clients, which is obviously just a much more sort of personal experience than coming to a larger class. But I've been paid, to tie somebody, which was an interesting experience. I think I officially became a sex worker.
A sex worker, yeah.
And I actually did some feminist porn actually with a couple of friends of mine, feminist pornographers from Melbourne, and they convinced myself and my previous partner that we should do some sex positive feminist porn with rope, which we did, which was actually really good.
So, I'd like to see that.
We might is that available anywhere? Can we get a link to a sample of that?
I'm not sure if it's still available. There was a site, a friend of mine by the name of Leandra Dahl had a site which was leandradahl.com. I'd have to have a look now. It was a little while ago. I think she's moved on.
Well, if we can get that, let's see if we can get that. Mm. I'm interested also in whether or not this impacts on your personal life. You're tying up all of these women all the time and... Hello?
Yeah.
How does your partner feel about it?
Look, it's been difficult. I mean, it's like anything. I think that you have to take your whole life into account. I don't tie as many other people when I'm in a relationship, and I'm actually engaged now to a very, very lovely girl called Emma.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the things for her is she's monogamous. My previous partner was poly, and so it was a little bit easier. With Emma, she has a few more problems with that because it's such an intense experience for us. it's hard to for her to see me do that to somebody else. So I tend not to. Predominantly I tie her now.
Right.
And occasionally I'll tie in an academic sense, but I don't really tie other people anymore because, you know, that's how our relationship works and that needs to be respected.
And that was something you needed to talk about, I imagine, in some depth to get really clear about what it was for each of you and how that was going to work for you as a couple.
Absolutely. And it's the communication was king. And I think actually having learned how to be poly, I suppose, and do that reasonably well.
Can we just explain poly? Some of our listeners might not know. Polyamory.
So polyamory is really just the concept of having more than one partner. And by partner, I don't mean sexual partner, although, you know, normally they are a sexual partner. It's more about the
emotional connection.
It's actually about having multiple proper relationships.
Mm.
And so a lot of it ends up being about time management and about communication and dealing with things like jealousy, which we all have. And, you know, and so by the time you've sort of been in a poly relationship for a little while, you're pretty good at communication.
Yeah. So you've been able to bring this into your current relationship, which is monogamous.
It is. Oddly, it started as poly and then we've become monogamous. So that's been an interesting experience as well.
Yeah.
Is part of the problem like she's competing with a hobby?
It's not that. I think it's as she said, she goes, intellectually, she has no problem with me tying other people and tying and you know, being poly and all the rest of it. But whenever I do, she gets a big lump in her throat. And I think I think sometimes we just need to recognize the fact that there are underlying emotional and spiritual needs that don't necessarily translate into an intellectual construct. You just have to accept those and deal with them in an emotional way.
Mm.
You have a festival coming up.
Yes. In Australia, what is the long weekend, the October long weekend?
Which is what date?
It's the 4th to the 6th of October. And actually the week preceding that, we have...
a week of bondage.
Yes.
Japanese style.
Yeah, it's really good fun. We have some Japanese guests coming over who are masters and certainly eclipse any level of skill that I have, coming over to teach masterclasses. And then we also have 3 days of lessons and performances, which is just great. So to give us a quick plug, it's sydneyropefestival.com.au.
That's easy to remember, sydneyropefestival.com.au.
And that'll be on... the website, my website.
That'll be on my website.
Oh, he's starting it again.
My website.
Whereabouts is that being happening?
That's happening here in Leichhardt at the Sydney Rope Dojo.
Once again, this hotbed of bondage and Italian food that is Leichhardt.
Absolutely.
Who would have thought that the German explorer after whom the suburb is named would have ever thought that the suburb that's named after him would be this hotbed of Italian food and bondage?
Well, it sort of makes sense when you realise that the explorer was German, really.
Well, because they're quite big on bondage, aren't they?
They are. They have a very well-developed artistic and sort of sexual health and interest community, certainly in Berlin.
Mm. So I'm thinking for people who are listening to this show and maybe haven't really experienced bondage before, shibari, and are thinking, oh, actually, that does pique my interest, and say they could come to the festival, what would they be able to get out of it? Like, are there sort of try it out kind of opportunities at the festival?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big things that we do with the festival is we have classes that anybody can take, so that, you know, anybody who turns up is going to be able to start learning a bit about rope and about the theory and the practice of rope. And also we've got a weekend beforehand for anyone who's a bit worried about their skill level so that they can beef themselves up a bit and go and do master classes and stuff without any problems. But basically it's a couple's experience, really. You know, people come along together normally and they, you know, they learn a bit about rope, they learn a little bit about sensuality, they learn a little bit about how to connect with one another, and a little bit about Japanese culture as well.
I
was just going to say, because whether you're the top or the model, I like that term, very, very sort of different roles and experiences. Do you find, well, if we're talking about, well, individuals or couples, sorry, I'm tied up again, listeners, and my brain's kind of a bit funny.
Focus, Jacqueline.
I hope I'm making sense. Like, do people get, do you find that people tend to have one preference or the other, or do they tend to switch? Like, do couples kind of take it in turns to tie each other up, or do you find that one prefers to be the, like, for me personally, I have a bit of an intellectual interest in the tying side of it, but in terms of the pleasure of the experience, I find being the model is just completely different dimension. Would you comment on that?
I think...
Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. It rambled.
That was an effort.
It did ramble, but you got there eventually.
Look, I think the reality is it's like any human experience. There's a little of everything. Sometimes we have more people who want to do both. Sometimes we have people very happy to stick to one role. You know, sometimes that role is male or female in either case.
Mm.
So I think it's very egalitarian in that way. And certainly we have a lot of female riggers, and we have quite a few women that have started as bottoms mm-hmm. and then have ended up being tops as well, started as models, ended up being tops, and extremely good tops, I think, for having been models in the past.
Does it help to have, I mean, I'd imagine that would it help to be very flexible in both roles so that you get an experience of?
I think fundamentally the first thing is that people need to not feel they have to be one role or the other. They need to work out what they actually enjoy because
yes.
that's actually the core of it. I mean, for me, I've been tied up and it doesn't really do anything for me. Partly that's probably got a little bit to do with my flexibility. And partly that's just got to do with I enjoy being the one who's actually doing things. I find passive roles quite difficult.
See, it doesn't feel passive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is passive, you know. But it's a very active kind of passive. I feel it more receptive. Like passive to me means like there's nothing happening, but what I'm experiencing is very much something happening.
I suppose that's the thing for me. I find just receiving without being in any way actively involved
doesn't directly. Work for you.
No, and I think rather than try to overanalyze that, I've just accepted that. I know other people that are the same in the opposite direction. They find it really confronting if they have to be the one who's actively doing something, whereas being able to sit there and have a lovely experience is perfect for them. So as much as the people who switch between top and bottom role seem to really do well from having done that, I wouldn't necessarily say it's something that people have to do.
No.
What would you recommend for people who are interested in this and they're just starting off? What's the best way to start?
The best way is generally to go somewhere where you can get one-on-one training, or at least training from a physical person, because books and even videos don't really kind of teach you about feel quite as much as you should. And really, in the end, that's the important part. But if not, I actually have a website called naturallytwisted.co, and in the tutorial section there's a whole heap of videos.
Naturallytwisted.co.
Yes.
We'll put that on the website to my website.
Is that a British website?
No, it's just...
happens to be a co.
Yeah, it just happens to be a co.
Mm-hmm.
When I was finding names for the site, that was the...
That was what it was about, Naturally Twisted. Well,
and your Rope Dojo, does that have a website as well?
It does, sydneyropedojo.com.au.
We'll put up all this on the website.
Magic.
And for people who don't live in Sydney, like if they wanted to, are there rope dojos?
Throughout the world? I mean, how has rope penetrated the rest of the world, so to speak?
Well, it's penetrated a lot through the kink community. And so a lot of the advertisements for rope are on kink websites.
Like fetlife.com.
Exactly. So it can be a little bit hard to find if you're not involved in one of those sites. But there are peer ropes that are on. There are, you know, normally you can do an internet search on your local area and under Shibari and find some things. But, you know, FetLife is actually the best resource for finding things like that.
You seem to be using a hessian rope. It's a natural fiber.
It's jute, yes.
Oh,
which
jute?
Is what hessian is made
yes,
of.
Jute.
So, yeah.
What are there, obviously different types of rope would provide different experiences. Silk would be a different experience altogether. Nylon. could be a bit scratchy.
People use a lot of different types of rope for bondage. The knots that we use don't work very well with non-natural fiber ropes. So
it's a very organic experience.
Yeah, and I personally I like the feel of the organic rope. So it's something we follow the Japanese very closely on that and use the jute. So
and of all the nations in the world besides the Japanese, which one has really taken up the do you know of one?
Oddly, Australia is kind of leading the charge to some degree. There's a lot
Who
of stuff
Who would have thunk it? the land of blokes, Sheilas,
well,
kangaroos,
I've been surprised because
I teach
a little bit of rope at my couples retreats, like very basic, nothing like this. Basically just how to do a wrist tie and a very simple body tie. And, I mean, I've been doing this about 10 years now and people love it. Like they really get into it and have a lot of fun just kind of tying each other up a bit. I think it's something that anyone can take into the bedroom.
I must say this is looking very artistic now. There's all sorts of fun stuff happening that you'll be able to see in the photographs.
Can you describe it?
Well, it looks like almost he's creating a vest out of rope that is binding your breasts without putting pressure on the breasts either, which I think is very sensitive. And lifting the rib cage as well, which I think is interesting. It's been wonderful. We've come to the end of our time.
Oh, really?
Yes. I know that time seems to have no meaning for you right now, Jacqueline, because of the head and spiritual space in which you find yourself.
Well, once we sign off, I'll just let myself go.
So I'd like to thank Havari for tying Jacqueline up. In fact, if you can gag her, that would be fantastic.
Excuse me. You're a bit too kinky there, Xavier.
And blindfold her, that would be even more fantastic.
In your dreams, mate.
Well, I just think it'd be make for good photography.
You're right.
I'm always thinking of the artistic aspects of this show. So once again, thank you, our listeners, for tuning in for all this sex, science, spirituality and art.
Yes, we need to add and art.
And art, we'll need to add that.
It's been beautiful. Thank you, Habari, and thank you for tying me up.
Thank you both for having me on the show.
It's been beautiful.
Cosmic.
We'll join you again next week, listeners, down on the Tantric Lounge.
Thank you again for stepping inside the Tantric Lounge. Please join your host, Jacqueline Hellier, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now, go try something you've learned this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.